Folks, you're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, and we are in studio with some amazing people. And I got to say, probably one of the more, you know, sort of powerful interviews that I've had in a lot of years here. Dave and Linda Masson have been chatting with us, and they have a really cool son named Jamie. I've heard a couple of stories about him that have made me go, really? And we've just been chatting about Mackenzie, their 12-year-old girl who passed away on October 16th, just a few weeks ago, of leukemia, AML to be specific. And someone else who is struggling with this dreadful, horrible disease is Michelle Stewart and her family. Her husband, Jamie, is a pastor at Kennedy Road Tabernacle, and I think Michelle is on the phone with us. Hi, Michelle.
I am. Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
How has the vomiting been this week?
It has calmed down a bit.
Okay.
Yes, today is a good day.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. You still want to do this?
Sure. I'm here.
Michelle, also in the studio with us are some people that you've met before, Dave and Linda Masson. Dave, Linda, Michelle.
Hi there.
Hi, guys. I just want to say how sorry I am, and my heart goes out to you guys, and I am just in awe and admiration of your strength that you've had through this whole journey you've been on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That really hit you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at Linda. You know, whatever you just said, Michelle, really, really hit Linda.
Well, Linda's been avoiding me because she doesn't want me to feel pain. And that's incredible. That's incredible. And I wish that the day that I saw her, I could have given her a hug, but she was purposefully not wanting to upset me in her pain. And that really touched me. But I have been praying for them, and again, we're all on a journey. We don't know what someone else's journey is like, but we can love each other and we can support each other.
Michelle, I've never met Emma. Is she sort of a straight shooting talker like you?
She is. I asked her as I was coming out of the room, is there anything that you want me to say? I said, what would you tell people about how you're handling this journey? And she said, I try not to think about it.
Hmm. Where is she at in regards to health right now? Is this sort of... She's on the up, she's on the down, she's in the middle, or, I mean, where are things at?
We are smack dab in the middle.
Right.
She's finished her second round of chemo and is recovering from that.
You know, with Dave and Linda, we talked about the initial diagnosis, the initial time you were told. You know, somebody officially said the word leukemia to
you. Yeah, that's a tough word to hear. Mm-hmm.
Take us through that day. What happened that day, Michelle?
I had taken her to our family doctor who wanted to run some tests. And when I got her into the van, I thought, she cannot walk into a lab. She does not have the strength. So I asked her, honey, do you want to go to the lab or to the hospital? And she said hospital. So we drove straight to emergency. She was admitted immediately because her breathing was compromised. And we were transferred and ended up at SickKids. She was tested right away. I mean, it just went all so quickly, and my husband had to fly home from Florida. By 8 o'clock that night, we had the diagnosis.
Wow.
Yeah.
At what point do you tell Emma about this?
She was not doing well physically. I can't remember specifically, but pretty much right away. We had the doctor that had talked with us talk to her, and he was very honest and open and straightforward, and we knew that she would appreciate that, and he told her.
What was her response to that? I mean, you know, we talked about Mackenzie's response, so how was Emma's?
Emma is very quiet sometimes and introspective. She kind of held it in. She ended up being sedated for about 10 days. So she didn't really deal with it until later. And I would just let the opportunity arise when she felt like asking questions, when she felt like talking. I would, you know, let her get to that point. And she hasn't said too much. She doesn't even complain with all of the indignities and horrors that she's had to endure. She continues to amaze me. She has faith in God, and I believe she's putting her trust in Him, but I think right now it just is easier for her to not think about it. Just get me through it, Mom. Just get me through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michelle, you know, I wouldn't normally phrase a question like this, but I know you well enough now that you can, that I, you know, I know you can roll with this, right? So here we go. You are the wife of a Pentecostal preacher, and there are a lot of Pentecostals that I've met who would say that, this is just something that needs to be prayed against and covered in the blood of Jesus, you know, whatever phraseology you want to use, and just speak into it and plant a seed of this, or I don't know, whatever the thing is. There seems to be no room for sometimes, hear me through in this, you know where we're going, for reality in all of this.
And it is a struggle because I've been brought up that way. And so I have this struggle. I should only be speaking words of life, and that is what I do. I'm staying positive. I believe in life. Absolutely. I believe in healing. I believe in hope. I'm reading a book by Pastor Tullian called Glorious Ruin, and there's a quote out of there. It says, when our faith or lack thereof feels like a fight against the realities of suffering instead of a resource for accepting them, then we're on the wrong track. And I fully believe that. I love how he kind of validated it for me. My faith doesn't make me pretend everything is okay, but it provides the comfort and the strength for me when it's tough.
Would you say that this, lack of a better word, ordeal, has changed your theology? Has changed how you pray?
I've never liked to command God on what he should do. So I've always been very careful about that. I don't know that it's changed my theology. We lost a daughter in 1997. She was born and lived for 2 hours. So I grappled with a lot of stuff at that point in my life, and, you know, questions, pain, grieving. I came to the conclusion that God is sovereign, and I'm either going to choose to trust him or not, and I choose to.
Folks, we're on the phone with Michelle Stewart. Michelle and Jamie are pastors over at KRT, Kennedy Road Tabernacle in Brampton. A lot of listeners would probably know that church and know your story and are sitting here grieving along with you and frustrated and prayerful and hopeful. I mean, we're talking about the juxtaposition of a whole bunch of range of emotions, a range of theology, a range of I guess the contrast between, you know, you and I spoke very clearly about this, Michelle, you know, hope and reality. Mm-hmm. Hope and reality. Mm-hmm. And of course, now in studio with us, we have another couple, Dave and Linda, and they recently just lost their daughter Mackenzie just a few weeks ago to AML. And let's be clear on this, Michelle, your daughter has AML as well, correct?
Yes. Right. Yes.
Is there a question that either of you want to ask of each other? And look, let's talk about the elephant in the room here, right? The elephant in the room is, you know, Dave and Linda, you guys have just lost a daughter here. Michelle, you have a daughter that's fighting to survive. And ne'er those two worlds meet. I mean, you just, the weirdness of those two worlds meeting is just, it's like, talk about the ultimate eggshell walk. Mm-hmm. You know, both of you, as I talk to you individually on the phones, you know, Linda and Dave and Michelle, both of you just didn't want to, you wanted to be very careful about the other. Mm-hmm. You guys were so, you're all otherers, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that, you know, the elephant in the room is different parts of the journey, you know, Michelle, anything you want to say to these guys or ask these guys?
Oh, how are you doing?
Doing okay. They were doing okay.
And see, this and this is this
today
is
a good day.
Mm-hmm. That's good, and that's how where I'm at. Today is a good day.
Yeah,
and they're
one
not
day
all
at
good
a time.
Days.
No.
Yeah. When I saw Jamie at the Starbucks, I hesitated. I didn't know we were actually walking. So we went back into SickKids on the Friday after the funeral, like the next on the Saturday, and we went back in the Friday because we actually had we donated Mackenzie's cord cells. So I actually gave my umbilical,
birth,
yeah.
Blood.
So I had her cord blood from birth, and
oh, wow.
She will have pre-leukemic markers on her cord, is what they think. So they've only actually this is the third cord they've ever had that had pre-leukemic markers. That what they think will have pre-leukemic markers. So they're very excited to get it donated.
Mm-hmm.
So we went back because we got the forms on the Thursday, and then we went right back in on the Friday and signed all that stuff over to Dr. Alexander. And I saw Jamie at the Starbucks, and I really hesitated as to whether or not I was going to tell him because I actually, when I told him, he hugged me and he said he was very sorry. And I actually said to him, please don't tell Michelle.
Yeah, he told me that.
Yeah,
yeah, he told me that.
He told me that, and then he told me. And I have to admit, it was very, very hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
My heart was breaking,
mm-hmm.
but again, made me face the reality of my own journey. And you know, it's not always a bad thing to be faced with reality. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my heart's been breaking for you guys. I know it's been a very long and hard journey with a lot of hope in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's amazing that you've created your foundation, that you're donating the blood for further research to help mm-hmm. people, kids along the way. And we can only hope that good comes
yeah.
out of it. We have
yeah.
to try
That's
to believe
hope.
That God has good.
Michelle, can we talk? I want to talk with you about some of the things that people say.
Okay.
Or shouldn't say.
Or shouldn't say. Yeah. I mean, you know, this is going to be a practical part of this interview that the rest of us need to learn and hear and understand. You know, what have been some of your frustrations, Michelle, just dealing with people who just don't know how to navigate this territory?
Well, I'm thankful for the grace of God in my life. some tough things have been people offering alternative health remedies.
Yes.
That's been difficult. Because
so someone coming up to you saying, you know, you need to get her on carrot juice 24/7, yes. and then she needs to bathed in mud for 24-hour, I don't know, whatever, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, ultimately people mean well. They just want to solve it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so some I ignore and some I choose to have therapeutic sarcasm with, but
nice. I like that.
You know, and then the statements, like you were talking about the reality, and the statements that people will say. You know, we know that Emma is going to be healed. We know, and I mm-hmm. think that's a great hope to have. But you don't really know that.
No,
you don't really know that. We are believing that with all of our hearts and praying for that, but. Reality.
Michelle, you know, you're the mother of a 15-year-old girl. Her birthday was when?
The day after Mackenzie passed away, the 17th.
Oh, dear. Okay. Mackenzie's was October 6th.
She celebrated her
birthday. She celebrated her 12th birthday. She was very excited.
And mine is October 7th.
Yes, I remember. I remember seeing you downstairs at the birthday cake.
Wow.
Yeah.
And mine is the 10th.
And no one invited me is what I'm getting out of all this. Thank you very much.
Well, my birthday was the viewing, so.
The visitation.
Wow.
That birthday sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, people said happy birthday, and I said, let's just try again next year.
Yeah, let's not.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to get to here, and I'm not quite sure how to phrase this, Michelle, but obviously, as a mother, your heart is breaking for the suffering your daughter is having to endure. But obviously, as a mother and as a Jesus girl, you are hanging on to hope that there is more to this, that maybe there'd be healing, et cetera, et cetera. When do you let go of the possibility of healing. Never, you know, you hear information, you hear, do you know what? I'm not even phrasing this right. Because I'm sure the answer is you never let go of hope. You're a parent. Until they take their last breath, you never let go of hope. Is that true?
Well, I'm not there, so I don't know. I know when they were working on our daughter, Claire, in Foothills Hospital in Calgary, the doctor came to me and said, we've worked on her. Her lungs are not responding. I can't cause her any more pain. And I had to let her go at that point.
I asked Dave and Linda this question, which is the obvious one in these sorts of conversations. You know, the angry with God, the what's up with this? Why us? Why this? How have you processed all that, Michelle?
I just believe that God has a plan and a purpose, and my love for him and my relationship with him doesn't allow me to stay angry too long because I've chosen to trust him. And I believe there's a bigger purpose in all of this, not even just Emma. I believe in that the prayers of people, so many people are praying for us. I believe there's an even bigger purpose to that. The very fact that people are praying, period, is a huge thing, right?
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that in our walk. The to see 8, 9, 10-year-olds at church, you know, down during their little children's Sunday school time, to see them passionately praying mm-hmm. for Mackenzie, you know, when we were going through this, and now for us as a family, mm-hmm. and we've had feedback from teachers who were there witnessing this, and they just go, I never had that kind of faith as a kid. I mean, there's been, God has done so much through this in so many other people, through the kids, through our community, through our church, through, people who have been touched by this story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. I mean, the ripple effect.
And what we've done right from day one is look for the God things along the way, which I'm sure you have done as well. And just the miracles every step of the way.
His mercies are new every morning, aren't they? And we find them if we look.
You know, that's...
It's true.
You know, Drew, exactly.
True.
Yeah.
Doubting Thomas here, but it's... And there are days that we didn't believe that there could be any. But you know what? They were there. And they helped us along. There are, you can only take this journey one day at a time.
Who do you blame for this?
There's no one to blame.
There's no apologizing for God.
But hold on. Do you blame the pollutants in our world and the way we live? Do you blame Satan? Do you blame, God forbid, God? You know, does the human soul not cry out for justice in these sorts of things? Does the human soul not cry out for answers as to why? And you guys, I'm hearing from both of you, ours is not to ask why. I'm hearing from both of you that.
Well, it cries out for mercy.
Yeah. You have to ask
not justice.
Why. You have to go through the questions. You have to struggle through it. It's definitely a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
In John, it says, the book of John, chapter 16, I'm sure that Drew knows the reference. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, mm-hmm. but take heart. I've overcome the world. We listen to the Hillsong song, take heart, over and over, so our spirits are being fed the words that we need to hear, and we don't always know the outcome. And I mean, you were talking about prayer. We've mentioned the word miracles. And Drew, you and I have talked about praying and healing, and how do we know that the very thing that happens isn't our miracle? I know that with all of your hearts, your prayer was for Mackenzie's life, but we are going to see miracles continue to happen mm-hmm. because of your journey, because of her life.
Absolutely.
Michelle, I think you and I talked about a story of someone who whose child was...
Okay, let's talk about my sister. My sister has a whole whack of kids. She's birthed some of them. She has chosen some of them, and she fosters some of them. But her 7-year-old daughter, Eliza Beth, has Down syndrome, and Angela chose her. She adopted her into their family, and she is a miracle in their lives.
Yeah, this is actually the story I was going to refer to. Right. And I said to you that, you know, Jean Vanier, of all people, would say, well, hold on a second. How is this? You know, we're praying for a miracle that the child not be born with Down syndrome, or the child not be born with this. But if they are born with this, how is that not a miracle?
Exactly.
You know, because of these, you know, Tim, you spoke about this earlier in our show, because these people, and that just always sounds weird when you say that, but the people that have these sort of you know, things teach us more stuff than the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway.
I had one question for Michelle, and I'm wondering how Emma's four siblings are doing.
How are you
as a parent working through with
Great
them?
Question. Yep.
And how are they? What's their perspective on all this?
Well, we're all struggling to find our place and where we fit, as our world has been turned upside down. Her two brothers were home for a bit and have gone back to where they were living in other parts of the world, and we stay in touch regularly. And their older sister, Erica, she was supposed to have gone back to university, but for some reason decided she wasn't going to go back. She ended up being invaluable in those first few weeks, caring for Emma and helping us, and that was one of our God things.
Wow.
She's been amazing. Her younger sister, Ellie, is 12, and she has grown up real fast, and it's been difficult. It's hard for her to not see me, but we try to get together as much as we can, and we're all working hard at making this work.
Michelle, we have thousands of listeners. What do you want to say to them?
Trust God. Surrender your life to Him and trust Him. And it's not always going to be easy, but He's with us in the tough stuff. And each one of us has our own journey to walk, but God gives us what we need when we need it.
See, I thought you would say, you know, please pray for my daughter.
That too.
No, but I'm hinting at a conversation that Michelle and I have. You know, it feels weird to me, mm-hmm. anyway. I'll speak on my behalf. Michelle, you can chirp in anytime you'd like.
I'm encouraging other people. You don't like that I'm doing that.
It feels weird to say, please pray for me, for our family, for this, because we go back to that, why not me? Why? And there's so many other things out in this world. You know, Michelle, you and your husband have this pastoral thing in your blood.
We have a thing, yeah.
Yeah, yes. And does it feel weird to say, please, thousands of Drew Marshall Show listeners, pray for my daughter?
I would love and appreciate the prayers of people. Mm-hmm. And I have learned that I am now in a receiving mode, and I receive all that God wants to do for us.
That, if I can just add, you know, we learned early on to stop saying no to people who are offering
Interesting.
To things.
Yeah.
It was a little difficult to humble ourselves and receive. But you know what? God opened up the floodgates of help. And in this journey, we've you know, if there's anything I can encourage anybody who goes through anything like this, receive the help that people give.
That's I appreciate you saying that, man. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
Michelle, thank you for joining us. I mean, you're at SickKids right now.
Yes, I am.
They were able to get you a phone somewhere in privacy, and we can have this great conversation. And if you know the Stewart family and you're involved with KRT or whatever, I'm sure you're already, you know, love-bombed or surrounded by all sorts of great people doing great things. But is there anything?
Donate blood and mm-hmm. register as a bone marrow donor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
Blood.ca and onematch.ca.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mom to mom.
Mm-hmm. I wish you all the best, Michelle. And I so hope that you don't have to. I hope that your journey ends very soon and that you get to take her home. Very soon.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Every journey is different.
Yeah. I always tell everybody, every journey is different. And just because our journey ended this way, it doesn't mean, you know, like I really am hoping and praying that your journey is just going to be these four cycles of chemo, and then you get to go home and have a great life.
Scatter her room with memories of what it's like outside. We did this with Mackenzie. We had pictures of life all over her walls, her brother, her dog, her, you know, her cousins, her family, her favorite pictures of just life outside those walls. Because for 4, 5, 6 months, going with that toxic chemicals being put through your body, you need something to look forward to, something to hope for, something to look beyond these walls for.
Guys, this is the kind of stuff that I have wanted this radio show to be about for the last 10 years. So honestly, honestly, thank you so, so much for all three of you joining us for this time, because this is where the rubber hits the road as far as I'm concerned, as far as, you know, this faith stuff is concerned. So, Michelle, we should probably meet one of these days, huh?
That'd be good.
And I'm sorry you're not going to be coming to the Pink Christmas.
I am missing it this year. I'm going to FaceTime in. It's going to be an amazing event. I think next week you have our guest with you. Carrie?
Yeah, November 24th is... Carrie's going to join us.
Oh, 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks. On November 24th, Carrie Pomeroli, and she's performing live at Kennedy Road Tabernacle with music by the Tonettes. So tickets are on sale. You can go to pinkchristmas.krt.org to get some of those. And we've got some tickets to give away here on the show as well. So we're looking forward to that. Michelle, we'll let you go.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Michelle. Thank you.
And to you guys, thank you again very, very much. And we certainly want to mention the trust fund. Unfortunately, there's no time to get into the story, but where can people go to give funds to this foundation involved with Muskoka Woods? They can go to muskokawoods.com/foundation.
Yes.
And
it's for siblings of kids who have cancer to go to camp, because Mackenzie's favorite place was Muskoka Woods, and she loved it there.
And she loved her brother.
Yeah.
She was always thinking of him.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So kids with cancer often get offered to go to camp, and so Mackenzie used to always say, "What about my brother?" So this is a really
her story.
It's an important thing. And the first place she went, she was discharged initially from her first treatment on July 22nd. And on July 23rd, she went to Muskoka Woods.
Really?
That's cool. Yeah, blew everybody's mind. I had to get special permission and all sorts of stuff because she had a very low hemoglobin and had a pneumonia and everything else. But she went up there and was in her cabin the second night, was in her activities the first day, and nobody knew. So she had dipping her toes in the waters of Lake Rosso with her family
by her side.
Their little bald head and her baseball cap on. Yeah. And
hey, don't knock bald.
Yep. That's good.
Represent.
That's it. Exactly.
All right, guys.
She was pretty pumped about that. They told us she kept telling her she wouldn't make it, and she said, "I'm making it." And she did.
So more of her story is explained, you know, the backstory.
There.
Yeah, at muskokawoods.com/foundation.
Perfect. All right, we got to breathe. Oh, my goodness. I wasn't sure I was going to make it through that one myself, so thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Drew.
Short break. We'll be right back.